Sir, we are approaching Calavdia 3.
Text to Impulse Power.
Aye, sir. Impulse Power.
Bridge, this is engineering.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Now that we're out of warp, I'd like to use this time to make some routine adjustments on the deuterium control conduit. We're overdue.
How much time will these adjustments require, Lieutenant?
A couple of hours, sir.
Proceed, Lieutenant LaForge. Standard orbit, ensign.
The Enterprise settles into orbit above the northern hemisphere of a large planet. The atmosphere is thick, swirling cloud.
Wes, I'm gonna need an SCM Model 3 from ship stores. Can you handle that?
Right away?
All right.
They study the image of the planet on the viewing screen.
Magnify, Mr. Worf. Hardly an inviting planet, even for a research establishment.
I would have thought the inhabitants of Dalet 4 would send a future leader to a more hospitable environment.
For some, security is more important than comfort.
Yes, but 16 years.
Captain, we're being hailed.
Hailing frequencies, Mr. Worf.
Open.
This is Captain Picard of the USS Enterprise.
I am on Dalet 4.
Sir, the planet's troposphere is distorting our signal.
Can you clean that up, Mr. Worf?
I'll try. Now.
This is Picard of the Enterprise. Please, will you repeat your message?
I am Anya. Have you come for Celia of Dalet 4?
That is correct.
What species are you?
Human.
Excellent. Bring us aboard. That is all.
Friendly, isn't she?
Friendly or not, Celia has the rank of head of state. So we shall treat her and Anya accordingly. Number one, Mr. Worf, let's go greet our visitors. You have the bridge, Mr. Data.
Aye, sir.
Data immediately rises from his helm console and sits in the captain's chair as Picard and Riker make their way to the transporter bay. A young girl and her guardian, Anya, materialize on the platform.
Welcome to the Enterprise. I'm Captain Picard.
This is Celia of Dalet 4.
I didn't feel a thing. Is that normal when one is transported, Captain?
Oh, yes, it is.
Those must be the matter energy conversion controls. May I take a look?
Yes, of course.
I could arrange for a tour of the ship if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love that.
No, that will not be necessary. Just show us to our quarters, Captain Picard.
Worf and Riker exchange a concerned look.
Very well.
We're accommodating you in quarters normally reserved for Starfleet Admiralty. I'm sure you'll find them quite comfortable.
As Picard leads them along a corridor, Wesley stares in open-mouthed wonder at the beautiful young woman before him. Celia catches his gaze and holds the look for a moment.
That's a superconducting magnet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an SCM model. How did you know that?
Steady. For the last 16 years, it's all
Please,
I could...
Please, Celia, walk ahead with me.
Better be careful. Those can rip the iron right out of your blood cells.
With a beaming grin, Celia joins Anya, Picard, and Worf. Riker watches Wesley with amusement, and as if in a daze, Wesley crosses to him.
Commander, who is she?
I think she's a governess.
No, the girl.
Oh, I don't know if she'll have time for you, Wes. She's destined to rule an entire world.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Dauphin, voiced by Marston York. The Federation starship Enterprise speeds through our own solar system, leaving the Earth far behind as it passes Jupiter and Saturn, heading into the unknown.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Diana Muldaur as Dr. Pulaski, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher. With music by Dennis McCarthy, theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Come in.
Wesley stands in front of a mirror, preening himself.
You wanted to see me?
Yes. Data, the girl who came on board.
Saliha of Dalet 4.
Who is she?
Little is known. She was born on Dalet 4. Her parents were from opposite sides in a civil war which has lasted for centuries. They both died shortly after her birth. A Federation ship brought her and her governess to Klavdia 3 so that she could be raised in a neutral environment.
And now she's returning.
It is hoped she will unite the factions and bring peace.
Ensign Crusher, report. Are you all right?
Geordi? Yeah, I'm fine. I just...
Wes, we're waiting for that magnet.
I'm on my way.
The Enterprise banks away from the planet, and Captain Picard enters the bridge from his ready room. Surveying his crew with pride, he nods contentedly.
Captain, we've broken orbit and laid in a course for Dalet 4, and we will remain on impulse power until Lieutenant LaForge completes his adjustments.
Mr. Worf, have our passengers' accommodations met with that approval?
I doubt if anything ever meets with that woman's approval. Sir.
Captain, I'm concerned about our new passengers. Their emotions do not fit who they are and what they're doing.
You're suggesting they're not who they say they are?
Actually, no. It's more like they're not what they say they are.
Picard, Saliha's quarters.
Yes.
May we turn on the viewer?
Yes, of course.
Are your quarters satisfactory?
Yes, very. Tell me, Captain, who was the young man I met before?
That was Ensign Wesley Crusher.
Thank you for checking on us, Captain. I only hope our quarters in Dalet 4 will be this luxurious.
Please feel free to contact me at any time. Card out.
Anya, who had remained out of the viewer's scope during the conversation, glares at Saliha and turns away. Saliha hangs her head in sorrowful contemplation.
What I sensed before hasn't changed.
What puzzles me, Captain, is how she is expected to bring peace to Dalet 4. Its inhabitants have been fighting throughout their recorded history.
What do we know about the cause of these wars?
Only that it is the difference between night and day.
Data, you used a colloquialism.
Did I? What I meant, sir, is that Dalet 4 rotates only once per revolution. Therefore, one side is constantly dark and the other side constantly light. One might surmise that the two hemispheres have developed disparate cultures, which is a major cause of most wars.
This child is supposed to bring them together.
She seems too delicate for such a task.
Do not be fooled by her looks. The body is just a shell.
How can I be a leader if I don't know anything about my people?
You will lead because you are accepted by both sides, and because it is in your blood.
What is expected of me once I'm there?
You will know.
How?
You just will. Saliha, you must arrive with an open mind, without preconceived ideas of the worlds you will find, or the people on either side.
It's very frustrating.
You feel the weight of so much responsibility. You're not sure you live up to everyone's expectations.
It's not only that. Nobody's even asked me if this is something I want.
It is your duty.
And I have no choice.
It won't be as bad as you think. In fact, it could be quite wonderful.
Besides, you are the last and only chance.
Saliha turns from her young friend and looks sadly out of the window. At the sound, she turns back. Her friend has changed into a small furry animal with huge eyes and an almost bear-like face.
Don't you think I'm going to need more than instinct to do whatever's expected of me on Dalet 4?
Energy depletion level?
0.04% and increasing.
Wesley? Wesley, you haven't found that defocused area yet?
I'm looking. Yeah, I see the way you're looking.
Wesley!
What? Sorry. I've got my mind on something.
I can see that.
It's this girl they beamed up, Jordy. She's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Now I understand why you can't concentrate.
I'll do better.
Okay.
I'll do better.
Warning. Resonant field applied.
What is it? What happened?
Nothing. I had it on the wrong setting.
Suppose it had to happen to you. It usually does at about this age.
What usually does?
Glands erupting with hormones. Happens to all of us.
Just because I said that I think she's interesting.
You said she was perfect.
Uh-uh.
Come on down. You're no use around here for now. Come on down from there. Go talk to her. Use the ladder.
Shaking his head but smiling knowingly, Geordi waits for Wesley at the bottom of the ladder.
That's silly, Geordi. But since you recommended it, how should I approach her? If she'll talk to me, what should I say?
Just say, hi, I'm Wesley Crusher. I'd like to talk to you.
And then what?
Whatever occurs to you.
Well, what if nothing occurs to me?
Wes, I don't have time for this. You're going to have to ask somebody else.
Okay.
That is how the Klingon lures a mate.
Are you telling me to go yell at Celia?
No. Men do not roar. Women roar. Then they hurl heavy objects and claw at you.
What does the man do?
He reads love poetry. He ducks a lot.
Worf, it sounds like it works great for the Klingons, but I think I need to try something a little less dangerous.
Go to her door. Beg like a human.
It should be that simple, Wesley. Judging by her appearance, it is likely you and Celia are biologically compatible. Of course, there could be a difference in the histocompatibility complex of the cell membrane, but...
Data, I want to meet her, not dissect her.
Wesley smiles at Worf and crosses to the turbo lift, standing aside as Picard enters the bridge.
Picard, to Celia's quarters.
Yes, Captain.
May I activate the view screen?
Hurry, go. Certainly.
We have invited Anya to take a tour of the ship. Maybe you would like to join her.
Very much.
Your escort will be with you shortly. Picard out.
I think I'll go on the tour. Why can't I? This is the only chance I'll ever have to see a vessel like this.
No. You must remain here where it is safe. Celia, do an old woman a favor and obey me for the rest of this trip.
You are no more an old woman than I am a leader. Yes, come in.
I'm here to escort you on a tour of the Enterprise.
Celia will remain behind. I will be right there. You are a leader. And I am older than you could ever imagine.
Anya looks hard at Celia before turning and walking past Worf, who looks quizzically at Celia and follows. The young woman stares sadly at the closing door.
What should I say? How do I act? What do I do?
Guinan, I need your help. Could you step over here a minute?
Sounds simple enough.
Guinan, the bartender, follows Riker and Wesley to a table in 10 forward and sits as Riker pulls out a chair for her.
Now, first words out of your mouth are the most important. You may want to start with something like this here. You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. But that might not work.
Yes. Yes, it would.
You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become.
Commander?
Or that you might think that was a lie.
Maybe I do think it's a lie.
And you think I'm not sincere?
I didn't say that. There's nothing wrong with the line. It's like a knock at the door.
Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope
is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
I don't think this is my style.
Shut up, kid. Tell me more about my eyes.
Wesley leaves.
This is the dilithium crystal chamber. Our chief engineer, Jody LaForge.
What is that? What are you doing?
Nothing to be concerned about. Just performing some routine adjustments.
I wasn't aware that the deuterium control conduit required routine adjustments.
Her face suddenly filled with concern, Anya walks over to an elevator platform on a wall below Geordi's position on the gantry and stands holding the control bars. The platform slowly rises and Geordi looks down at Worf in confusion as the Protector slowly ascends towards him.
I perform periodic inspections on all engineering systems.
In this case, you seem to have found a malfunction.
It's not a malfunction. It's simply that a minute defocused area is developed. Lowers our operating efficiency.
It could also lead to excess pion production.
Our computer would detect that.
Unless, of course, it too is malfunctioning.
Look, I really have to get this finished.
Anya, please come with me.
Staring hard at Geordi, she turns and walks back onto the platform.
I will be back to check your progress.
As her head disappears below the gantry, Geordi sighs in frustration. Wesley enters the corridor where Celia's quarters are situated and walks confidently to the security guard posted outside.
Ensign Crusher, what can I do for you? Nothing.
The door suddenly opens and Celia's face breaks into a huge smile on seeing Wesley. He stares at her dumbfounded.
Is there a problem?
No.
Could you show me how to work the food dispenser?
Sure. Really, it's quite simple. You just tell the computer what you want, and it prepares it for you.
Oh. What should I order?
I don't know. What do you like?
I'd like something sweet.
I know. Computer, Thalian chocolate mousse.
A glass dish appears, laden with chocolate, and Wesley hands it to her. She scoops her finger through the mousse and puts it in her mouth. Her eyes suddenly grow wide with pleasure.
Wonderful sensation.
On Thalos 7, they age the beans 400 years.
You've been there?
It's one of my favorite places.
Oh, it must be fun to visit a planet like that.
It's the best part of being on the Enterprise.
I've studied about some of them, but to see them, that would be wonderful. Tell me about some of the other places you've been.
Oh, there's too many.
The only world I've known is Clavdia 3.
It's about time we change that.
How?
Come with me.
He takes the bowl from her and replaces it in the replicator before leading her out of the room. Continuing his tour of the ship, Worf leads Anya into the infirmary.
I'll be with you in a moment.
What's wrong with him?
Andronesian encephalitis.
That disease is contagious.
Very unlikely. Our air filtering system can handle...
But there is a chance.
If you mean mathematically, yes, the probability is not zero.
I cannot rely on your primitive technologies. Kill the patient.
What?
Destroy the patient. Immediately.
Now, you calm down.
If you won't take action, then I will.
Anya suddenly metamorphoses into a monstrous humanoid.
Security to sickbay, hurry!
It turns and grabs Worf by the throat as three security officers and Picard rush in. Slowly, it releases Worf.
Wait! Hold your fire! Worf!
What is she? Keep her away.
Do not interfere.
She wants to kill Hennessy.
His disease threatens Celia.
Captain, there is no chance of contagion.
The situation is under control.
That's not good enough.
Well, it will have to be.
Your powers are infinitesimal compared to mine.
Yes, that may be. But you will obey my orders. You will remain in your quarters and in your present form for the rest of this voyage. Is that clear?
Very.
Keep her under guard.
Aye, sir. Wait for me. What kind of creature is she?
I've never seen anything like her.
There is mention in the Galactic Zoological Catalog of a species called Alasimorph, which is supposed to possess the power to alter their molecular structure into other life forms.
Such a creature would make a perfect protector.
I want a security team stationed outside sickbay, Mr. Worf.
Aye, sir. Captain, what if Anya transforms?
Improvise.
Wesley and Celia stand looking at a ringed planet.
Can a place so remarkable truly exist?
Yes. There are many more. All of them are different.
I've learned about them. That's all I did on Clavdia 3 was learn. I know so much, but I've seen so little.
Think of all you have to look forward to. This is a great time to be alive.
For you.
For both of us. This is all just beginning. We've only charted 19% of our galaxy. The rest is out there just waiting. Look what we've already discovered.
I've never seen anything so wondrous.
Wait. Computer. Russo 5.
Hey.
Suddenly, they are standing on a rock floating amid hundreds of others.
It's breathtaking.
Yes.
And you've been to this place?
Someday, you'll visit Russo 5. And many other places. All more spectacular.
If only it were possible.
Listen.
What is it?
In a moment, the harmonic resonance from the neutrino clouds will become synchronous.
Beautiful. It's like this place has a voice. It's trying to speak to us. Thank you for sharing all of this with me.
Someday, you'll see it all for yourself. Look over there.
They stare out across the sea of pink-tinged rocks, and Celia holds onto his arm, looking around in wonder. Worf and two security officers shepherd Anya back to her quarters. She walks in front of them, grim-faced, and Worf watches her cautiously.
Remain here. You are restricted to these quarters for the remainder of this voyage.
You are the protector of this ship, are you not?
I am in charge of security.
You must understand my duties as well. If you confine me to this cell, I cannot protect Celia.
There is no need for concern. She is safe on this ship.
You must understand that I cannot make such an assumption.
You no longer have the choice. You have to trust me to protect her.
No. A true protector cannot have two charges. Your responsibility is to the ship. My duty is to Celia.
My responsibility to the ship includes protecting Celia.
You know I'm stronger than you.
I was unprepared.
You underestimated me in your sickbay. That is usually fatal.
Still, you are here. Confined to your room.
I ceased my struggle by choice, not because of you or your captain.
I would have stopped you. If not me, someone else.
No, you cannot control me.
We will see.
You've obviously brought a very dangerous life form on board. I want to minimize the chance of any incident.
Whatever kind of life form Anya is, emotionally, she's Celia's mother.
The most dangerous animal is a mother protecting her young.
Exactly.
Captain, this is Anya.
Yes.
Celia is gone. Where is she?
This has all been so wonderful. I'm not even sure it's real.
Believe me, 10-4 isn't an illusion.
Not that. I mean the way I feel.
You won't find a better dish of chocolate anywhere.
I'm sure I won't.
Something wrong?
I've had a great time being with you, Wesley.
And that makes you sad?
When I was on Klavdia 3, all I could think about was leaving that isolation. What makes me sad is having to face it again, after seeing what else is possible.
Is that what awaits you on Dalet 4? Isolation?
Yes.
I thought you were going there to reunite two warring parties.
What else do you know?
Very little. The ship's computer doesn't have that much on Dalet 4. How will you stop the fighting?
I'm not certain. I only know I will have many responsibilities when I get there. Your language has no word for the position I'll hold. In many ways, I'll have even less freedom than I did on Klavdia 3.
You could stay.
On the Enterprise?
Why not?
Because I can't.
She suddenly rushes away.
Just because a girl runs out doesn't mean she doesn't wish you to follow.
He catches up with her in a corridor.
What is it? What happened? Celia!
Stay away from me! I'm sorry.
I don't understand.
I can't stay here. I can't have this life. I want it more than anything, but I can't have it.
Celia, nothing is impossible.
Not for you.
There's a way. I know there is.
Leave her alone.
Ensign, step away from her.
Come with me.
Wesley steps back and Celia walks dejectedly past him towards Anya. She holds Wesley's gaze, her sorrowful eyes pleading with him to understand, and Anya shepherds her away. Two security guards follow and Picard watches Wesley as the young man leans against a bulkhead, his shoulders slumped, his head bowed. Concern and understanding flicker across Picard's face as he watches Wesley and he turns slowly to follow Anya and Celia. The Enterprise continues on its lonely journey, the light of billions of distant stars shining on its glistening hull. Wesley and Geordi continue working on the warp core.
Energy depletion level.
Zero.
LaForge to bridge.
Yes, Lieutenant.
I've just completed my final adjustments. Thanks for the time. You now have warp engines available.
Very good.
Number one, get us to Dalet as quickly as possible.
Ensign Gibson, take us to warp 8.8.
Warp 8.8, sir.
Estimated time?
3 hours, 9 minutes.
Ensign Crusher, when you're finished with your duties in engineering, report to my ready room.
Yes, sir.
You have the bridge, number one.
Aye, sir.
At warp 8.8, the stars stretch from dots in the distance into long, thin strands of light as the Enterprise powers through space.
The woman, Anya, is not what she appears to be. She is an Alasomorph.
A shapeshifter?
Yes. She's not only a governess, she's also the girl's protector. Now, I don't care to interfere in the personal relationships of those under my command. But in this case...
You want me to stay away from Celia?
Yes, I do. For the good of the ship and the safety of everyone on board.
Wesley looks at the floor, unable to hold his captain's direct gaze. He folds his arms, struggling to keep control of his emotions, and slowly he looks back up at Picard. His uncertain gaze falls on the captain's face, and he shuffles uncomfortably.
I will do as you ask.
Picard nods slowly and Wesley walks dejectedly out of the ready room. Picard watches him leave and sighs sadly. Celia sits opposite Anya, watching her uncertainly.
Why won't you let me have a friend?
It is my duty to protect you from danger.
There's no danger here.
There is always danger from one who is not your kind. Celia, he's confusing you. You're forgetting your responsibilities.
Whether or not I see Wesley is for me to decide.
It is not. I raised you, I protected you, and I intend to deliver you to Dalid IV.
Maybe what you want doesn't matter anymore.
Celia, please. I know it's difficult for you. But you must do what you're destined to do.
Celia looks sadly but determinedly at her protector. The Enterprise drops out of warp as it nears its destination.
Stand in orbit.
Aye, sir.
Hailing frequencies, Mr. Worf.
Captain, I'm encountering the same interference we experienced on Klavdia 3.
The troposphere appears to be distorting our signals. It is fascinating, Captain. Klavdia 3 and Dalid 4 have almost identical atmospheres.
Magnify. Times 20.
The billowing, venomous clouds of the planet's atmosphere fill the viewing screen.
How could anyone exist in an environment so totally hostile toward human life?
Mr. Data, do whatever is necessary to override the interference. Let's complete our mission.
Wesley sits dejectedly in his quarters playing a board game.
Come in. Celia! You shouldn't have come.
Do you want me to leave?
I didn't say that.
Then you want me to stay?
Does Anya know you're here?
That doesn't matter.
I'm glad you came. I thought Anya would have kept you with her.
Well, I have certain rights.
So in other words, you slipped out.
While she was asleep. I hope you didn't get in trouble from your captain.
Oh, I haven't gotten in trouble yet.
Anya thought you would corrupt me.
With my wild way of life?
Maybe. With the normal things people do when they like each other.
Letting her fingers walk playfully up his arm, she gently draws him to her. His confusion dissipates as their lips touch in a tender, lingering embrace. Their eyes close as they lose themselves in the moment. Slowly drawing apart, Wesley gazes lovingly at her.
Wesley, get out of here now!
What's going on?
Just go, please!
Security, crew quarters!
No! Anya, no!
As the hideous monster closes on Wesley, he turns in shock at Celia's order and stares in horror as the girl transforms into a huge, demonic, hair-covered ogre. He leaps out of the way, shaking with fear as the two monsters step towards each other and slowly return to human form.
You should not have disobeyed me.
I had to.
I warned you to leave her alone.
Celia looks at him, but he is too shocked to move.
Captain's log, stardate 42568.8. Since Anya's powers of transformation apparently gave her the ability to escape her guards unnoticed, we have sealed her quarters with a force field that will contain her no matter how small a form she may take.
Captain, I'm receiving an audio signal.
Audio on.
Come in, Enterprise. This is Command Headquarters of Dalid 4. We have been expecting you.
Sir, sensors indicate the communication originated from a terawatt source on the planet.
That's more power than our entire ship can generate.
It is what is needed to penetrate the atmosphere.
Which means we lack the ability to respond, sir.
Sir, there are beam-down coordinates encoded within the carrier signal.
Splendid.
I'll arrange for our guests to beam down.
Worf heads to Celia's quarters. Two guards stand to attention outside.
Force field off.
Come in.
We have arrived.
Celia will be with you in just a moment.
Worf nods and exits. Celia stares at Anya in utter surprise.
You're not going?
No. My duties have been completed. I have done all that I could. I hope it was enough.
You've raised me well, and I thank you for that.
I would not have harmed the boy. I only wanted to frighten him.
I know.
You are ready for what awaits you, and you will do well. I know I've been hard on you, but I wanted to prepare you for anything you might be required to do.
Will I ever be able to leave Dalet 4?
Probably not. But anything is possible.
That's what Wes said.
I hope he's right.
Where will you go?
The third moon is within range of this ship's transporter. I shall go there. It was my home before we went away.
I'm going to miss you.
I know.
Anya gently touches Celia's shoulders and smiles. Celia looks sadly into her guardian's eyes and steps backwards. Holding Anya's gaze, she turns. With her head held high, she walks towards the door and stands before it. As it opens, she looks out at the guards standing either side and turns slowly back to Anya.
I am ready now.
She walks proudly through the door. Worf waits for her to exit and steps inside.
I will escort you to transporter room 6.
You will be happy to see me leave.
No. You are a worthy opponent.
Thank you. At heart, we are very much alike.
Yes, we are.
Perhaps we shall fight again. On the same side?
It would be an honor. Shall we go?
With a wry smile, Anya nods and walks out. Wesley leans against the bulkhead in his quarters.
Come in.
Celia enters slowly and Wesley turns away.
Wesley, I have to go now.
Was it fun?
What do you mean?
Playing humanoid. Was it fun?
Wesley, look at me. Right now, this minute, this is what I am. A humanoid girl.
What are you really?
Does it matter?
Yes.
Our natural state is one unlike anything you can imagine.
So you took this form for our benefit? That's why you wanted to know what species we are.
I'm sorry I hurt you. I didn't mean to.
I loved you.
I love you too.
Can you?
Yes. Oh, yes. I have the same feelings, the same emotions as you. You must believe me.
Please go.
Wesley, let's not say goodbye like this.
He stares at her, unmoving, determined in his sense of betrayal. Celia looks back at him pleadingly, but recognizing his stubborn refusal to accept her, she turns and exits. He watches her leave and leans against the bulkhead once more, casting his gaze to the floor.
Prepare to beam Celia to the specified coordinates.
Aye, sir.
Our world is grateful for the courtesy which you have extended us.
I hope someday that the Federation and Dalet 4 will have formal contact.
That is my wish as well.
Coordinates have been input, sir.
Proceed.
Celia walks onto the transport platform as the door suddenly opens.
Wait.
A smile breaks across her face as Wesley enters. He steps towards her and holds out a bowl of Thalian chocolate mousse.
A taste to remember me by.
She dips her finger into the mousse and smiles as she tastes it.
I wish there was something I could give you.
I already have.
I'm glad you came to say goodbye. Thank you for everything. I want you to leave now.
Why?
I cannot arrive in my planet in this form, and I want you to remember me as I am now.
Don't worry. I will.
She steps back under the platform generator lights, and Wesley stares in amazement as she transforms once more. His face is suddenly lit by a bright but soft glow, and his eyes widen with wonder as he gazes at an ethereal silver-blue form. Celia has become almost cloud-like, her translucent figure shimmering on the platform. Suddenly understanding her real beauty, a faint smile whispers at the corners of his mouth and he turns to Riker. The commander smiles and nods and Wesley looks back at Celia.
Energize.
The Enterprise leaves orbit and heads away into space. In the bar in 10 Forward, crew members sit at the table scattered around enjoying each other's company. Away from the others on his own by a window, Wesley sits leaning his head heavily on one hand. He is unaware of anything around him as he stares morosely at the clear fizzy drink on the table in front of him. From the bar, Gainan watches him, her deep dark eyes missing nothing and understanding everything. She sits opposite him, mirroring his position. She rests her head on one hand and stares at him. Her eyes smile tenderly.
Seeing her on the transporter pad, it was like seeing pure light. I miss her. I feel empty. I know that sensation. But there'll come a time when all you remember is the love. I'm never gonna feel this way about anyone else. You're right. I didn't expect you to say that. There'll be others. Every time you feel love, it'll be different. Every time it's different. Knowing that doesn't make it any easier. It's not supposed to.
He looks up at her and she smiles knowingly at him, her face kind and gentle. He looks away. The end.